Hi, I'm Jessie.
Hi, I'm Lenny.
And we're from Table Manners, and we are currently being brought to you by the Platinum Card from American Express.
Until the 1st of June 2022, American Express are offering a welcome bonus for new Platinum Card members of 60,000 membership reward points when you spend £6,000 in the first 6 months of card membership. That's enough points for a return flight to somewhere unforgettable.
For more information, search Amex Platinum. Annual fee is £575. Terms and conditions apply. If you'd prefer a card without any rewards, other features, or a card membership fee, an alternative is available, the basic card.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dope Black Women Podcast. An amazing podcast about dope black women doing the thing all around the world and sharing their amazing experiences. We're taking over today, and who are we? We are formerly the Creative Weekly, now
We the Talentless.
Introducing your co-host, Victoria and
Randy.
So, Randy, just to give a brief intro to let people know why we're called We the Talentless, because obviously talent is important.
Yeah, talent is really important, but we wanted to go with We the Talentless because we wanted to send the message that it's not just about talent. It takes hard work. Hard work always beats talent.
Always.
So we wanted to kind of cultivate a community for creatives who need help to master their skills and business. Outside of the talent. And we really want to just connect our community with useful tools, mentors, tips, and cut through all the noise to show you like what's the focus that you should be focusing on.
Yeah, 100%. And we brought that up because guess what? Today's podcast episode is going to be about harnessing your talent, all the other things that are around the talent to make it work.
That's right. So when you want to talk about harnessing your talent, you want to talk about four things today. The first off, which is setting expectations in the creative space. Secondly, we want to talk about what kind of work ethics you need to have. Then we want to talk about networking within the creative space and how to show up for yourself within that space. And then lastly, we want to highlight a number of dope black women in Jamaica and the Caribbean who are doing amazing things. So, forward with me, let's get it done.
Okay, so the first thing, as we said, is setting expectations. And this is a big thing, especially when it comes to being a woman in this space. You have to set expectations, not only for yourself, but for everyone you work around with. This is something that's consistent. And I wanted to bring up, and I shared this with you earlier, Randy, about the law of the mirror. And this was by John Maxwell, where he talks about how you see yourself is sometimes how other people see you. How you treat yourself is how other people are going to start to treat you. And that navigates through the professional and personal space, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so when you're setting expectations, I think the first place you want to start with is obviously yourself. What are the expectations that you have for yourself? If you don't believe that you can do something, you know, then other people are going to feel that energy. If you say, okay, I'm going to be the best photographer, the best fashion designer, the best creative I can be, which is a very rational, reasonable, and positive affirmation.
Yeah.
Because you're being the best that you can be. Instead of putting pressure on saying like, oh, I'm going to be the best in the world, we can start off with, I'm going to be the best I can be. And when you start saying that and putting that out into your efforts, people are going to see that as well.
Yeah, so how do we, so let's dig deeper into that. And I want to ask you a question. How do we, like, if I'm setting my expectations, how do I set realistic expectations? Because, you know, we want to think about, we can say, all right, we want to go to the moon, to the stars, we want to do this, we want to do that. But how do we actually set realistic expectations? What's the process?
Oh, that's a very good idea. So I would say, one, start with a SWOT analysis.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
SWOT stands for your strength, your weakness, your opportunities, and your threats. And usually this is done for businesses, but you can do this for yourself. Mm-hmm. So one, you can see what are your strengths, right? What are the things that you naturally exude, bring into the space, you know, you're naturally really good at?
Yeah.
Lean into those. What are your weaknesses? And your weaknesses are, they're going to play into the law of the mirror. You know, if you don't think that you're a great writer and somebody brings a writing project to you, that energy, that presence, how you approach it is going to be there. You list all of your weaknesses. Do you want to be better at some of them, or are you okay with just finding someone who is better at doing? Because that's also a good thing.
Yeah. You have to really leverage. If you can't do everything yourself, then find people who are great at doing it, form a relationship with them, and then get it done.
100%. Because, I mean, you direct,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
but you're also not the entire staff when it comes to filming.
I could not literally do it at all.
Exactly.
You have a saying that goes, you say, if you want to go faster, go alone, but if you want to go further, go together. And that's really what it is.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And for me too, like when I'm doing marketing, marketing is such a vast thing. I can do strategy, I can do content, but when it comes to somebody who knows Google ads or, you know, I'm going to give it to that person. I'm going to go, that's a lot of money to
It's a lot of money. I've been there, done that, not doing it again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when you look at your weaknesses, it's not to make you feel bad or make you feel small. It's to kind of you to like, you're setting the expectation. Am I going to be honest about, okay, I'm going to work on this, or do I need to start vocalizing? I think you should give this to this person. I think maybe I should work with this person to go on. Then you'll see your opportunities. How can you use your weaknesses as an opportunity to grow and to continue to level up as you go? And your threats would probably be, what are some of the habits or people or things in your life that are stopping you from growing or setting those expectations? What are some things that you have like felt as you're, you know, maturing as a creative that were stopping you from growing personally and professionally?
You have a good one for this. I honestly feel like the things that usually stop me were actually personal issues. So there's, I don't remember the writer that said it, but...
And you always say this,
Business issues are really just personal issues manifesting themselves in a business space. So if you really look at yourself, okay, you know, procrastination, timeliness, commitment, clarity, you know, all of these things usually stem from a deeper place. So I focus usually on just building myself up and seeing what are the problems I can solve with myself first and then look further into the business space. So a challenge I had, you know, if I was to be vulnerable, is to say that, yo, I had trouble delivering things on time because I procrastinated a lot. Sometimes I still do now, but you have to create systems for you to be able to kind of get into that space. But before we move forward to talk about work ethics and skills, I wanted to bring up one more thing.
I was gonna share one more. You were being vulnerable, so I was like, I gotta be vulnerable too.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, I think one of the things for me, especially with setting expectations, was that I was afraid to set boundaries. And I was already afraid to set boundaries in my personal life, and it just overlapped into my professional life. Mm-hmm. So with clients, with projects, with deadlines, with everything. And that messed up my expectations with people so much. And I had to fix that in order for me to actually be accountable to people.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a book I'm going to recommend, of course, even though it doesn't apply, you know, laterally to a professional space, I feel like the principles from it actually help you overall. It's a book called Boundaries in Dating.
I have that. And I have, I think this book I've just started reading, and it's from this famous black therapist, Set Boundaries, Find Peace.
Oh, actually, I don't know that one. Who's the author?
Her name is Nedra. I'm sorry if I murder your name. Nedra Clover Tawab.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
And then Boundaries in Dating is by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. Really good book. It has a Christian focus. So it actually mixes, you know, Christian teachings along with the principles, which I find really nice. It's actually pretty cool and you learn a lot from it.
Yeah, yeah. So those are two books you can navigate through. And really, again, that's going to overflow in setting the expectations for your work, for yourself. And when you start setting really good expectations with yourself, it's naturally going to, like, people are going to see it.
Yeah.
You walk into the room, the way that you do your work is going to help people to take you seriously. The way that you present yourself in a meeting, the way that you are accountable to certain things, people naturally and instinctively know this is the expectation that you're setting. Sometimes you're going to have to vocalize it, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. But that other 50%, it's all from you, baby. Like, it's all from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to bring up, so we talked about SWOT, like, doing a SWOT analysis.
Right.
Definitely, you know, I'm going to go to talking about SMART, setting SMART goals.
Yes.
Because I feel like setting expectations is really akin to setting goals for yourself. You want to know where you're going, what you want to do, what you want to achieve. And in setting those goals, you have to set them SMART. So along with setting expectations and, you know, talking about work ethics, one of the things that I really use to kind of guide myself when I'm setting goals is the, you know, similar to SWOT, is something called SMART. When you're setting SMART goals. So, and SMART means specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. You want to set goals that are specific. So instead of saying, I want to have more money soon, you would say,
I want to, like, let's say you're starting out as a creative lead and you want to be an art director. I want to be an art director.
Okay, no.
Cool.
What kind of art director, by what time? You know, what in what company, in what space,
industry?
What industry? So you want to say, okay, I want to, you know, be able to make $2 million within the next 3 months. That's very specific. By selling this, 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 and that, you have something to now measure yourself to. So
yes.
It has to be specific. It has to be measurable. So it has to have information on which you can judge it by and mark it up
and
to.
And that's where the 2 million comes in.
And that's where the 2
that's
million
how you're
comes
gonna
in.
Measure. And it doesn't have to be 2 mil, guys.
It could be 10 mil. It could be 500,000. It could be anything.
It could be 5,000. Yeah. It could be anything. But just something that you know within your personal self that you want.
That's something that's achievable.
That's achievable.
Yeah.
Right? So, and achievable part, I think, is really important because a lot of the times we are told that we're supposed to have, like, these high goals.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to, but actually, in order for you to get to that high goal, you have to make those small little stepping stones first. So if you want to start out, like, you know, you're doing writing jobs and right now you're getting $50 a paper.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your next goal is, I want to get paid $100 for the next paper. And that's a part of your SMART goal. That's a good
thing. And that's where to kind of break it down stepwise, because you cannot leapfrog from $10 to $1,000.
And that's where the reachable comes
and
in.
And that's where the realistic comes
realistic.
In. There we go. That's cool. Reachable, realistic. It's cool. And it has to be realistic. It has to be something, you know, I say that we have to scope the solution to the size of the problem. And if you know that, well, all right now where you are, it takes you, for example, if you're writing a paper, it takes you, you know, 3 days really to go over to fully do a 2,000 word essay X amount of time. You don't want to tell yourself that you're going to try to be doing a 4,000 word essay immediately. Maybe you're going to do a 2,500 word essay. Maybe you're going to step from doing, you know, a $10 job to a $20 job. It has to be something that is realistic, that you is achievable, that you can actually do. You don't want to set pies in the skies, or it will make it actually
pies
harder.
In the skies.
It's pies in the skies, man, because it's going to fall and it's going right in your face. So you really want to set goals that will motivate you to move forward. It's better to do smaller, incremental achievements because you feel good and you feel like you're actually moving forward because you actually are.
Yeah. And we're not saying you shouldn't dream big.
Definitely dream big.
Have that $10 million goal, that Beyonce money. But also make those little goals leading up to that Beyonce money. Yes.
Level up.
Randy's doing
level
these
up.
Hand motions.
Level up, level up, level up. You hear the breeze? Level up.
Oh, my goodness.
And it has to be time-bound, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It has to, you have to set a specific amount of time for in which you are going to measure yourself amongst that goal. So,
I mean, and in terms of work ethic, I'd want to segue into, like, systems.
Systems.
Again, we're just going to remind you guys that, you know, being a dope, a talented Black woman is everything. A talented Black creative is everything. But there comes a point where talent is not enough and your work ethic needs to have a system.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Because if there's no, if your talent is kind of like water, and if there's no river, if there's no guide to, like, flowing where it should go, it's just going to be there. And that's not what you want. Or overflow, or, you know, some areas are not going to have enough water, kind of in the metaphor. So
it's all about balance.
Balance. So mm-hmm. I want to ask, and I think I'd want us to share, like, what are some systems, Randy, that you found good for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the mistakes you made before you got to that system?
Ooh, all right. Let me start with a system.
Yeah.
One of the systems that I currently live for is habit stacking.
Right.
I learned that from Atomic Habits. This book is right here, Atomic Habits.
He's
by
pointing
James.
To his bookshelf.
Yeah, Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Right.
And one of the principles they talk about is stacking habits so that you reduce the amount of willpower that you have to use to get things done. So one habit, you know, waterfalls into the other. So for example, when I wake up in the morning, my habit stack would be wake up. After I wake up, I breathe. I do deep breathing. After I do some deep breathing, I drink some water. After I drink some water, I take my vitamins because you have to stay hydrated.
And after, supple, young.
Yeah, that's right, young and fresh. And after I do that, I then go into my writing. So five days a week, I write the screenwriting in the morning.
After, that sounds perfect. That sounds great. But how did you get from that point, right? What were you doing before for you to realize, like, yo, Randy, We need to get this together.
Oh, man, that was...
Because you've mastered it now, in a sense. Like,
yes.
You're starting to flow into it. But before, that's, you're in the system now. So what happened before you created that system? Ooh,
before I created that system, the one thing I knew that was consistent for me a long time ago was that I got up really early.
Nice.
But outside of that, I didn't really have very good habits after I woke up. It was more so when I woke, I had the phone beside me. Mm-hmm. So I definitely go on social media.
Mm-hmm.
All of us do that. We always go on social media. It's the first thing. This morning when I picked up the phone, I definitely went on social media this morning. It's a Saturday though, we're recording this. So it's fine.
And we're all about honesty.
And we're all about honesty and vulnerability. Facts. So before that, what I, you know, I didn't really have proper structures. I was kind of just like fly by the wire. And as a creative, I felt like structure wasn't something that really
It took away your creativity.
It took away my creativity.
Facts.
It wasn't something I was going to do. I never really want to be in a no structure. Because which true artist follows any kind of structure? But, you know, contrary to popular belief,
a lot of great artists have habits and structure.
You really need habits
even
and structure.
Even if it's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. It, there is something that repeatable that you do day to day. So that was a mess. You know, I would get things done, but it wasn't really in any structure. It was really with on time. And it was really me struggling to just balance things in a way. I would just work, you know, 20 hours a day, 18 hours a day, just to kind of get things done.
And you were... You weren't setting proper expectations for yourself.
And I wasn't setting proper expectations. I would do too much. Now, that's completely different.
Different.
I have better. So I have a daily planner. And in the daily planner, it's a one page, you know, like an 8x6 page. And if it cannot fit on the page in normal type space,
mm-hmm.
then it's not getting done today. It
yeah.
moves on to the next day. So now, along with habit stacking, I've structured my day through my calendar to have, you know, blocks of hours where I focus on work. Blocks on hours where I do personal stuff in the
yeah.
morning, blocks of hours, and I end my day at a particular time every day.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there are days when I have film jobs that will really throw and upend all of that,
right.
but it still gives me a base where I can return to
right.
that I can use to kind of keep progressing.
And the fact
forward.
Is that those habits and those systems, you don't have to think, and it's effortless.
Yeah.
And it makes your life so much easier. Because, like, for me, I have a morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
I have a night routine, and it's very, very simple. My morning routine is wake up, gratitude journal, pray,
nice.
Meditate, and just grab a drink, because I normally juice. Grab a drink or mm-hmm. grab a simple snack, and then head to my computer at night, Duolingo, meditate, sleep.
Nice.
Very, very simple. Like, those are primary things that I know are that are going to keep me sane from throwing my laptop against the wall. And my other system, which you know, Randy, is... If it's not in my calendar,
mm-hmm,
if it's not in my calendar, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. That will never happen. You will never live to see that happen.
Never. Right?
Yeah.
I always try and plan my days ahead of time. No matter what it is, even if I'm hanging out with a friend, it is
Same.
In my calendar.
Yeah, if it's not in the calendar, it doesn't exist.
It does not exist.
Yeah, man. Send me that booking meeting. I love you. Please send it to me.
If we're going to brunch, I need to put it in my calendar. Like, you don't need to send me the invite. I need to put it in my calendar. If we're doing... Evo with Randy.
Yeah.
Calendar.
Want to have drinks, Vic? Calendar. Send me that calendar invite.
Yes.
We've actually had beefs over calendar invites because it had errors and she thought I canceled it.
And I thought he canceled.
And it's like,
and
whoa.
And everyone was like, wait, what?
Because we live by the calendar.
Exactly.
And I know it might seem a bit too structured, but one of the things is that, you know, and I really recommend reading Atomic Habits, because one of the things it refocuses your mind on is that you don't need... Structure doesn't take away from your creativity. It actually creates more space for you to actually flourish because you spend less mental energy trying to think and figure out about what...
Exactly.
It's like riding a bicycle. You don't get on a bicycle and think left foot, right foot when you learn. You just get on and you pedal. You don't have to think and worry about how to do the next thing or what to do next because it's already become a part of you.
Yeah, and trust me, like when we said that as creatives, we were afraid... to do these systems, afraid to do these habits because we
mm-hmm.
thought, you know, all the cool people just like go by the fly, they feel the vibe.
Yeah.
But if realistically, if you want to make money, if you want this creative job to be a career, creating those systems is one, it's gonna help you to be a better professional. Two, it's gonna help you to make sure that you don't overwork yourself too much.
Mm-hmm.
Three, it's also gonna give you freedom to do things that you love. Because when we, and you know, Randy, you can attest to it, is like when we start to structure our work and our days through the weekends feel a little bit lighter.
Much, much, much lighter. I feel like I can actually breathe because I can get up on Saturday morning and know that it is my
day. And you can do whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want. Do.
Right? And that's also it. You know, there can be just like an hour or even half the day where you just do whatever you want. You don't plan it, you just do it, but you don't know that you've structured what needs to be done.
Yeah. So, Victoria, are there any dope Black women, I'm sure there are, that you would love to highlight about their work ethic, something that you really stands out to you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I want to name some who are pretty popular, like Quinta B. She's doing Albert Elementary. You know, she was formerly working at BuzzFeed, and now she went on her own, and she was doing her own thing with a couple of writers, and now
really
she's...
Really talented.
Yeah, she recently published a book. She's working on a new series, all of these things going on. Her work ethic is impeccable because for her, she knows that there's no such thing as being lucky, like having a lucky break. It's all about working until people think that you're an overnight success. She didn't just come up with Albert Elementary overnight. She was doing writing gigs and writing jobs, and she was grueling through it. And I love that about her. Another one that we all know is Shonda Rhimes. Mm-hmm. And you know, anything Shonda touches.
Shonda.
Anything Shonda touches, child, Bridgerton, is just gonna, you know, Grey's Anatomy, it's just gonna blow up. And that's to say, Shonda Rhimes did not become Shonda Rhimes overnight. She obviously had to work really hard. She now has Shondaland, mm-hmm. right? Which is her production company as well. That doesn't happen overnight. It was a consistent work habit of knowing, like, these are the things that need to be done. And these are the things that need to be done at this time.
Because hard work beats talent. And these dope Black women have been working very hard.
Very hard. And they're all, and that's not to say, you know, to take away from their talent. They're extremely talented. However, again, they understand it's harnessing that talent and putting the things around that talent that's going to make it work. And time. But they also know that it's all about who they're surrounded with.
Yeah, like, you know, I mentioned earlier that in the morning I get up at 5 a.m. to write. And that was started by a really great friend of mine, Kia Moses, talented writer, but she works very hard. And another friend of mine.
And she works very hard. Yes, you said, but she works.
So, a talented writer. And she works very hard. And then Gabrielle Blackwood, talented director, DP, writer. I've seen her, like, listen, she works hard. If she needs, she commits and she gives her all when she needs to get something done. She had a script she needed to pull down from 130 pages to 117 pages. And I'm going to tell you, some days she went like the hours that she needed to do to chop out and she go. And I've learned so much from them. They've created a space for me as really dope Black women that, you know, I can come into and they're teaching me and learning. And it's just so.
And then influence your work ethic as well.
Listen to me. I am so thankful to be in a space with them because I'm learning so much.
And again, we tie it back. They set the requirement that this is the work ethic that they're bringing. This is the work ethic they want you to bring.
Yep.
And that's what you want to do as a dope Black woman, as a dope Black creative.
That's right.
Set the expectation for yourself and everybody will overflow, you know?
Yeah.
And your influence on people also plays a good part.
Yeah. And you know, talking about influence on and talking about people, we really want to talk about networking.
Woot.
Yeah. Like, how do you network the space that you're in? As a dope Black woman yourself, Victoria, I've seen you go through different spaces, tackling and kicking down doors and bring yourself to expect, you know, exactly the space that you want to be. How do you, what are your tips and how do you network the space that you're in from a way to achieve the things that you do and to make yourself comfortable in a way that will allow you to achieve the things that you do?
Okay. I think first off, the disclaimer is between me, you know, myself and Randy is the most social person ever. You know, you connect with people so much more. You have a wider network than myself because you do it for both business and pleasure.
True.
My network is purely based on business.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep my I shouldn't say pleasure circle. That sounds kind of kinky.
We don't judge. We don't judge. Pleasure circle.
I keep my close circle very, very short, very short. But I would say I saw the people that I wanted to connect with. I, you know, set those requirements for myself, saw the people who are doing the thing.
Yeah.
And I knew these were who I wanted to be associated with. And I was like, if they're working this hard, they're putting themselves in these spaces, they're presenting themselves as such both online and in person, then that's something that I need to emulate from. So the people that I wanted to network with were, in a sense, like pseudo mentors mm-hmm. that I was learning from. And like, even before I connected with you, you know, I saw you in that space with all the creative, cool kids. And I was like, okay. And now, after, you know, years of like doing my own thing and also presenting, now I know said creative, cool kids.
Yeah, nice.
You closer to them than me.
Come on, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm more of a known of. So it took a lot of changing, because I think a lot of people, when they're like, oh, networking is really important, some people don't bring up the fact that you have to change yourself in order to network. Because mm-hmm. where you are now, like if you were where you're supposed to be, you would have networked with those people already.
Yeah, definitely.
You have to change your mindset, your how you work, how you think, how you do things. You have to be a little less fearless every day. And what it does is that when you're more focused on developing that and then connecting to the people as you start to grow up to the top, then you reach the people that you actually want to network with. And that's to say, don't throw away people who've helped you along the way, no matter how small or big they are. Not everyone who has a big following or is super popular mm-hmm. is an expert or is important.
Yeah, yeah.
Or someone you actually want to network with or to mentor you. When you reach there, you're going to realize that the people behind the scenes who are not in the glamour light, those are the people you really want to network
they're
with.
They're grinding. Some of the, like, the most important people who are big movers and shakers that I met in real life. And we know we connect on Instagram. They have 300 followers.
300 followers.
It's not just about numbers. There is a space in which these numbers do work, but don't let it be the only metric that you judge people by. And I know you said a little less fearless, but I know you mean a little more fearless.
Yeah, a little more fearless.
And I want
fearless,
to encourage and bring home that point that you need to be a little more fearless, fearless every day and put yourself out there.
100%. And for me, you know, I did my best knowing people who are behind the scenes, because they were the people who are actually moving everything and doing everything. And, you know, another thing that I learned is that some of the most amazing people that you really should be networking with are the people that you least expect. And they're always like very, there's no glitz and glamour with them. It's like just they're amazing individuals, and they're just there in your space.
Yeah.
Just sitting down. Like, for example, you know, I was getting lunch and I just saw Ingrid Riley, another amazing, dope Black woman in the Caribbean tech space, there just having mm-hmm. some sushi, chilling. And I was just like, hey. She's like, hey. And I was like, oh my God, that's Ingrid. Ah.
Hey.
You know? And it's not always the people with the big following, or it's not always the, you know, the people with the glitz and glam. Sometimes the people in the background who rarely are on social media, and, you know, they're doing stuff for Netflix, they're doing stuff for HBO, Nike, you know, they're going off, but they keep it there. So you really want to not be blinded by the numbers or the likes, but really look to see like who's behind the scenes, who's doing it all, you know, who's doing the good work. Like another dope Black woman that I know who's a fashion designer is Kadia Nicely. Mm-hmm. You know, she's dressed.
I love her work.
Yes.
Love her
She's
work.
Dressed Shensia. She's dressed, what's Usain Bolt's?
Casey.
Yes, Casey, and a couple of other amazing people. And I met Kadia for a while now, and she was doing the work, but she wasn't at that stage dressing celebrities.
Yeah.
I knew her before that, and I built that rapport with her. You know, I kept that connection with her as we go along. You know, she's the person mm-hmm. I reach out to for outfits when I'm doing a little shoot.
Hey. And they're always amazing.
And they're always, thank you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you grow along and you don't throw people away just because they don't have certain numbers or they're not a certain glamour. Every single person in your network is there for a purpose. You know, you're networking with people, not followers, not likes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, and you really just, you know, as I said before, there's a space in which some of these things are important. And that is to say that you need to understand and clearly define your path, define what it is that is important to you, so that you can understand what to look for. So if you know that you want to be an influencer,
mm-hmm.
you know that part of those things are reach and numbers and so on. If you want to be an artist, a visual artist, a painter, you may want to, you know, someone who has experience with working with different types of paints, different types of medium,
or
art directors, you know, you want to search within the space that, you know, narrow your vision and search within the space that really aligns with whatever your focus is.
Yeah.
You know, you want to,
if you're doing fashion,
yeah.
you know, you might want to link with stylists.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, one piece on the right person can just blow
Send you
off.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, we kind of want to just end it off with our take on how you should harness your talent as a dope Black woman, based on the fact that we've both been influenced by really strong, powerful, dope Black women in our lives, you know? I think first off, my advice would be just to remember to just push yourself to be fearless every single day. Tackle something to be fearless, because that fearlessness is going to help you to be that dope Black woman that you are supposed to be, the best you can be, because there's only one you.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I would want to talk about is that, you know, something a lesson my mom taught me, one of the first dope Black women in my life. And she taught me how to not quit, to just keep going no matter what. And I always remember this quote by Eleanor Roosevelt, who says, "No matter how slow you go, don't stop." And that's always been the beat of my life. Now, in the slowest and the darkest of times, in the brightest of times, you always keep going. You might slow down to take a break to catch a breath. You might pause
or plateau.
You might plateau, but you never stop. You keep going because, you know, you're going to hit that mark. You're going to hit that goal. You always, you know, take a break to reassess, but keep going.
And like we said, you know, Shonda Rhimes did not become Shonda Rhimes overnight.
She did not. It was not easy. Don't be fooled. It's not an overnight success. No. Anytime you see overnight success, there's lots that was happening before, and then what you saw is just the tip.
Tears, pause, rejection, heartache, project scrapped, project start.
Projects fail. Lose money, lose this, lose that. It's part of the journey.
It's a part of the journey.
Yeah. So embrace it.
Yeah.
Dope Black women, embrace it.
100%. High five. Bam.
All right.
And, you know, if you guys want to learn more about Dope Black Women podcast, be sure to check them out on social media. Be sure to check out their podcast and subscribe as well if you want more amazing content that caters to the dope Black woman, no matter where you are in the world, whether you are in North America, South America, Caribbean, whatever it is, being a dope Black woman is universal, right? And if you want to hear more from us, Randy and myself, Victoria.
Randy, Victoria.
Yeah, I pointed at myself and said Randy. Be sure to check us out at We The Talentless on social media across platforms.
And all your favorite podcast platforms, We The Talentless. We're there.
100%. And we'll be launching in July with our new season of really good stuff. It's going to be a talentless playbook.
Yeah. We have a lot in store. Maybe some cool merch, you know, eventually.
Yeah,
I love merch. I really want to have a cool pullover with a We The Talentless logo. Simplicity, isn't it? But we have a lot in store, you know, fun times, jokes, hard work, and just stay tuned.
Yeah, again, talent is not enough.
Talent is not enough.
And we want to make sure, you know, you harness the talent, but we're going to help you with everything else to make sure that talent works.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Nice.
Fist bump.
Hey, see you next time. Peace.
Hi, I'm Jessie.
Hi, I'm Lenny.
And we're from Table Manners, and we are currently being brought to you by the Platinum Card from American Express.
Until the 1st of June 2022, American Express are offering a welcome bonus for new Platinum Card members of 60,000 membership reward points when you spend £6,000 in the first 6 months of card membership. That's enough points for a return flight to somewhere unforgettable.
For more information, search Amex Platinum. Annual fee is £575. Terms and conditions apply. If you'd prefer a card without any rewards, other features, or a card membership fee, an alternative is available, the basic card.